All right, everybody. The time is currently 6 p.m. in the evening, and you are tuned in here at Tech Talks. That is right. Between the hours of 6 and 8 p.m., you will be joining myself and my wonderful co-host, Grant, as we take you through a wonderful tirade of technological turns of phrases and all sorts of new fun things happening. In addition to the tech, we also have the best tunes here in the city of Lexington, only from WRFL itself. So with that, keep it locked all the way to the left at your only alternative left. And more importantly, thank you for tuning in and teching out with us here at Tech Talks.
This podcast is brought to you by WRFL, Radio Free Lexington. Find us online at WRFL.fm. Catch us on your FM radio while you're in Central Kentucky at 88.1 FM all the way to the left. Thank you for listening, and please be sure to subscribe.
All right, everybody. Welcome back. Thank you for tuning in and teching out with us here this wonderful, wonderful evening. Unfortunately, not a lot of tech has happened in the past week, so our articles are going to be fairly short tonight. However, before we get into the articles in the second hour, I want to tell you a little bit of what's going on around town here in Lexington this evening and beyond. So tonight at 9 p.m., we have Chlorine and Dr. Paul Tour, the Chlorine and Dr. Paul Tour kickoff with Yovantes at the Green Lantern Bar at 9 p.m. Then the Suitcase Junket at the Burl at 9 p.m. Then tomorrow, Friday, January 20th, we have the Unloaded Exhibition at the Bolivar Art Gallery at 10 a.m. Kiet at the Burl at 9 p.m. The Other Brothers will be at Willie's Locally Known at 9 p.m. tomorrow evening. Afro Man shall be at Cosmic Charlie's at 10 p.m. tomorrow night. Then Saturday, January the 21st. We have Champions of the Sun, He's Dead Jim, and David Dondero at Al's Bar at 9 p.m. Alma Gitana will be at Willie's Locally Known on Saturday at 9 p.m. Sister Ray, a Velvet Underground tribute, will be at the Burl at 9 p.m. Father Mountain, Dad Shorts, and Donut Heist will be at the Best Friend Bar at 9 p.m. on Saturday. And Wicket the Instigator will be at Cosmic Charlie's at 10 p.m. on Saturday. With that, thank you for keeping it locked all the way to the left and tuning in and teching out with us here on Tech Talks. We will be back in the second hour with a few articles that we've been able to get a hold of this week, but in the meantime, we hope you're enjoying the tunes. If there's anything you'd like to request, or if you just generally would like to chat, feel free to call the on-air phone at 859-257-9735 whenever we're not in a talking break. Thanks again, everybody, and we hope to hear from you soon. Definitely been a light week in tech this week, hasn't it, Grant?
Yeah.
So, with that, what is our first article of the evening?
First article that I wanted to pull up for us. Well, it seems I lost the one that I wanted to go with first. So, in lieu of that, the investigation has come back from an accident in a Tesla car last year, and the agency involved in the investigation, it was here in the U.S., has decided that there are no safety defects in autopilot, so that it wasn't a substantial error of the programming or of autopilot in any real capacity. Yeah.
All right. Well, that's definitely good for Tesla that there's, you know, nothing wrong with their system.
Yeah. Yeah. Certainly. But It's interesting because this, you know, again, continues to be kind of the growing pains of figuring out what autonomous driving looks like. And certainly, this is not going to be the last accident by a long shot, but we have to continue to hope that the number of accidents overall is going to stay way down. This was in May of 2016, and this was about the point when Tesla had really first launched Autopilot publicly.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was the first fatality that I know of in an automated car that was not a necessarily a commercial vehicle, but the, you know, something that was commercially available, I guess you could say. But the National Highway and Transportation Safety Administration said, quote, "The safety of our customers comes first, and we appreciate the thoroughness." Sorry, Tesla said of the Highway and Transportation Safety Administration that our customers' safety comes first, and we appreciate the thoroughness of their reports and its conclusion. There's been a lot of talk of, well, there's going to be accidents, but in this case, it is kind of seen as perhaps a vindication of the self-driving market as a whole. This has been something that had been looming around for about 8 months now. And so the idea that the Transportation Safety Board has now cleared them of any wrongdoing is substantial, and in a lot of ways, it does set a little bit of a precedent that so long as there isn't something overtly wrong with the programming, that I guess we're just going to continue to consider it errors and mistakes. I don't know.
Yeah, definitely seems like there's going to have to be, at some point, someone determining and actually making the final call, saying yes, it is safer to have autonomous cars, or no, it is actually still just as dangerous. And no one's wanted to make that call yet because they've been thoroughly testing it, and it's, you know,
largely it's held up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but
I'm just curious, at what point are they finally going to make that call? I you know, is it going to happen in the next 5 years, 10 years, 15 years? Before or after mass implementation?
I hold it down within the next five. I think mass implementation is on the way within the next 10. But I think specifically, we're going to see, you know, the Highway and Transportation Safety Administration say, yes, this is safe within the next five. And then that's it. That's my prediction for the next 10 years.
I definitely think that it's an accurate, a very good viewpoint to have, and you know, everything's pointing to that direction. You know, it just doesn't seem like it'll be much longer before we're finally there.
Yeah. I don't know that I can really say that any better myself. I think we're on the verge of it here, because you know, for example, we can point back to Uber's having a pretty rough week right now news wise they have taken their I'd have to look at the number again, but they've taken their sumpteenth quarter in a row of losses as of, you know, the end of last quarter. And so the question is, yeah, Uber can manage to get together like $15 billion, but right now they're net making a loss per trip.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't sound like a business.
It's not a sustainable model at all. If you're losing, if every single one of your Uber calls is costing more than you're getting out of it, then yeah, that's a bad canary in the coal mine.
Yeah.
Like, that's 10 canaries in the same cage on the floor.
And so, what's the logical conclusion of that? If they're net, and they have been for the past 7 years, net losing money every quarter as they grow and build infrastructure, then, you know, maybe this is an infrastructure thing like Amazon, where it just takes a whole bunch of money to build a whole bunch of facilities to ship a whole bunch of books. But I suspect here that the end game is that the day that highway safety says, yeah, no, you're good, yes, these autonomous vehicles are safe, is the day
Uber converts.
That Uber converts en masse.
Mm-hmm. Now, another question would be whether they convert en masse to a fossil fuel-powered vehicle or if they convert en masse to a electric self-driving vehicle.
That's a great question.
Which, at this point,
the electric ones take more infrastructure, but they also have less wear because
there's no oil to change. There's less fluids to deal with.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So there's more upfront costs of getting chargers for all of these things, and it does kind of limit, you know, maybe they'll take both models. Perhaps within a city where you can get to a charging station, they'll opt to be electric. Maybe we'll see them launch something almost trolley-esque, which I would be fine with, honestly. If there were a trolley that took a swinging loop around town and you could kind of pull it over a street or two off of its course and get it to pick you up, that'd be pretty cool, you know? I think there's a lot of models that they can do, but right now, the fact that they're spending something like half of the, or more, of the cost of a ride on the driver and the maintenance of the vehicle proves to me they're spending the vast majority of the cost per ride on paying the driver and keeping maintaining vehicles. So, and it's just, I can't imagine that this is going to be
going to stay the way it is.
This can't stay the way it is, and this company continue to exist.
Exactly. Well, it's about time for another music break, but before we go, maybe something you didn't know. Kentucky Lawyers for the Arts provides a referral service for artists, musicians, and arts organizations who need legal assistance. If you need a referral, or if you are a lawyer who would like to provide legal assistance for artists, you can submit an application on Kentucky Lawyers for the Arts website at kylawyersforthearts.com. So with that, thank you for tuning in and teching out with us. There's not much teching today, so thank you for, you know, being more patient with the tunes. With that, up next, we have Say Yes. So that's always something fun to look forward to. Keep it locked all the way to the left. It's your only alternative left here on WRFL Lexington.
All right.
All right, everybody. Well, we are about done here. We want to say thank you for tuning in and teching out with us. A particular thank you we want to give out this week. We actually got a bit of fan mail.
Yeah, look at that. Actually, this is a pretty unusual thing. So
it is directly related to our last week's topic, which is impressive that it got here so quickly.
So firstly, thank you, Scott.
Yes, thank you very much. In relation to what we were talking about last week, how hematite had been found on Mars, Mark took it upon himself, or not Scott, Scott took it upon himself to send us some hematite samples. One of them is two magnetized hematite rings, and the other one is just a sample of hematite, and wrote us a wonderful letter explaining about hematite and how the presence of different minerals can affect the color and whatnot. Additionally, he also sent us a pair of 3D glasses. And so next week we are going to be talking about the science behind modern 3D glasses versus the old cardboard red and blue 3D glasses.
Yeah, because the new ones don't have anything red or blue in them. It's actually
And the new ones, if you remember, the old ones made everything look sort of like a cardboard cutout or like a pop-up book, whereas the real...
It did. It had a pop-up book effect.
Yes, and the real D 3D glasses now, they're almost like a true 3D rendition. There's actually some curvature to things.
Mm-hmm.
And it's where they're polarized. So we're going to talk a little bit about that next week. So make sure you tune in then. But we wanted to come on air before we ended today's show and say thank you, Scott, for listening in. And sorry we didn't have more interesting things to talk about this evening. We, like I said, there wasn't a whole lot of tech stuff happening this week. Everything's sort of been focused on other hot, you know, hot topics in the headlines. And school also has been quite an issue this week. So with that, we are going to have a better show next week for y'all, including more tech. And I hope y'all enjoyed the music this evening. We branched out a little bit, tried some things we normally wouldn't have. Some of them we liked, and some of them, well, you know, that's how music goes. Sometimes you don't like what you hear. But we hope, even if you don't like it, that you keep listening, because it might get you to listen to something you never would have, and you may discover something. Sort of like how... Well, heck, Grant, what's an example of a genre of music that you normally wouldn't have listened to that you got exposed to here at the station and actually enjoy?
I'm going to be honest. I actually pretty well enjoy Run the Jewels, and that's something I would have been exposed to had I not encountered it here.
Mm-hmm. Personally, my tastes here, I didn't have much exposure to funk music before I came to WRFL. And I know we don't get a whole lot of funk music here in the station, but there was just enough that I was able to sort of get a taste of it and really started to enjoy funk music. And now it's one of my favorite things. So with that, thanks again for tuning in and tagging out with us. We're going to be signing off here and hopping off the airwaves. And up next will be Field Sounds. So with that, keep it locked and enjoy the sounds of some fields.
All right, we'll see you next week.
Hey there. If you're enjoying this podcast from WRFL Lexington, you may enjoy our live radio stream at WRFL.fm and, of course, via radio at 88.1 FM in the Central Kentucky area. We have a wide variety of programs you're sure to enjoy. Just go to WRFL.fm/schedule and see what programs appeal most to you. Thanks again for listening to this podcast from WRFL Lexington.